Hello everyone, Sally Abbott here and welcome to the March issue of Chatterbox Norfolk Magazine. The sun has started to make a long-awaited appearance, hinting that spring is on its way, and I hope that the thought of that makes you feel as good as it does me. Before I go any further, I'd like to thank Mrs. Moynihan for sending her message, thanking us all so much for the lovely stories. It really is very kind of you, Mrs. Moynihan, to take the trouble. We love hearing from you. The magazine cover this month is a muted olive green, which perfectly offset the most beautiful close-up photograph of the head and upper body of a hare. His head, I don't know why I assume he, is cocked slightly to his right, showing only his left eye, big, bright, amber and beautiful. His long ears stand proud and alert. His velvety nose and muzzle are caramel coloured, and every long light whisker can be picked out against the mink fluffy fur of his neck and chest. I'm sure his nose and whiskers are actually twitching. On March the 6th, 1926, the plan for what was to become the Norfolk Wildlife Trust was formed. In the last century, this amazing charity has made a huge contribution to the landscape we all hold dear by protecting, restoring beautiful spaces and making them where nature and people thrive. In this issue, we celebrate its achievements and catch up with our nature writer and NWT ambassador, Nick Aitchison. March the 8th is International Women's Day, the annual event that shines a light on women's achievements. To mark this, we follow in the footsteps of Norwich's trailblazing female residents from centuries past on a Her Story walking tour of the city with Siv Sears. Elsewhere, Katie Pearson takes a fun trip back in time to the 90s with performer and TV presenter Denise Van Outen, who is bringing her one-woman show to Cromer Pier this month. And Dr. Claire Bailey Mosley discusses her late husband Michael Mosley's legacy as her new cookbook is released. Our readers this month are Carolyn Wood, Olivia Bradford, John Francis and Kevin Ford. There's a lot to get through, so here we go. Track 1. This month, Norfolk Wildlife Trust marks its centenary, and as part of the celebrations, a special book by our much-loved nature columnist Nick Aitchison is being published. He tells us why he is so proud to be an ambassador for the charity.
I tried to be a grown-up for a while, says Nick Aitchison. I had quite an academic background and went to a very academic university and was going to try and be a lawyer. But nature feels like a moral imperative, really. It's just where my heart is, and nature needs all the voices it can get. For the last 12 years, Nick, in his role as an ambassador, has been sharing with us the good work done by Norfolk Wildlife Trust, beautifully woven into his reflections on the role that nature plays in life in the county. And this month, as part of the Trust's 100th anniversary celebrations, an anthology of his writing, which is featured in the magazine, is being launched. Back in 1926, Dr. Sidney Long had the vision to buy 176 hectares of marsh at Clye, and today Norfolk Wildlife Trust is the custodian of many special sites around Norfolk. To mark the milestone, This Wild Dream is being published by Norwich-based Propolis, which is run by Henry Late, who's also behind the Book Hive. Henry has selected the pieces in the book, which is divided up into spring, summer, autumn and winter. Norfolk-based writers Rafaela Barker, Ashley Hickson-Lovance, Jessica Streeting and Jeremy Page have shared their thoughts on the seasons, plus there's a foreword written by Norfolk Wildlife Trust President Patrick Barkham and an introduction by the Lord Lieutenant of Norfolk, Lady Dannett. As Nick explains, it's almost a companion to the Trust's 50th anniversary book, which featured contributions from Norfolk nature writers and was published by Jarrells in 1976. I was keen for it to be very Norfolk. This is a book by Norfolk people for Norfolk people. I feel immensely privileged to have had the opportunity to talk to Norfolk through Norfolk magazine for all this time, he says. Although I've lived periods of my life elsewhere, I grew up in Norfolk. I've known its moods for my whole life, and so if I'm writing a column in advance for the April issue, I'm able to look forward and know what Norfolk will be like. I always try to say something beyond just describing what wildlife you can see, but say something more profound about our relationship with wildlife, or what Norfolk Wildlife Trust is hoping to achieve, or how people can help us to achieve it, or how people can best help wildlife. Nick grew up in Little Snoring near Fakenham and believes that his love of nature was passed down from his grandfathers and then nurtured by his teachers at Gresham School. My two grandfathers were both countrymen. They grew up on farms, and although I didn't know them, I feel very strongly that I am who I am because of them. We had a bit of a wild garden, and as children we were always outdoors. I would go and teach myself flowers and birds by watching and spending the whole day outdoors, and come back on my bike sunburned and tired, but full of stuff I'd learned. During his time as a Norfolk Wildlife Trust ambassador, Nick has been deeply involved with the development of Sweetbriar Marshes Nature Reserve in Norwich. Another highlight has been the creation of the Simon Aspinall Wildlife Education Centre at Cly, where he's hosted many events. In one sense, since I've been writing my column for Norfolk Magazine, I've become more distressed by the scale of the environmental and biodiversity crises that we faced, that we've caused. And so certainly what Norfolk Wildlife Trust, and therefore what I say, is blunter than it was at the start. I've now worked at Norfolk Wildlife Trust in some capacity for 18 years, and during those years, under the late Brendan Joyce, and now under Elliot Lyne, it's grown in ambition, in scope, and actually is doing really daring, ambitious things for nature, for our environment, and for people's relationship with nature. So I feel very heartened. And I feel that Norfolk Wildlife Trust has always had a very special place in people's hearts. Norfolk people have always been unbelievably generous in their moral support and their financial support and their support for nature as part of the Norfolk environment. And so I feel we're in a very good place, given the scale of the problems. This year may well prove to be our biggest ever year in terms of land acquisition for both wildlife and to allow people access to wildlife, because we increasingly know that people's mental health and physical health depends on access to green space, and there are lots of people in Norfolk who don't have that. Norfolk Wildlife Trust is increasingly daring in terms of campaigning and in terms of standing up for the environment for everyone's good. Reflecting on the landmark anniversary, Elliot Lyne, CEO of Norfolk Wildlife Trust, also acknowledges the great challenges nature is facing, but is similarly optimistic. We're the oldest wildlife trust in the country, and what a great thing it is to arrive at our centenary in rude health and full of passion, commitment and purpose. We're managing more land than ever for wildlife and broadening our work to support landowners and communities to connect with and support the wildlife on their doorstep. And while we are succeeding, we do so in a troubling context. Government support for our agenda is waning. Nature has become politicised, and the impacts of climate change are impacting our landscapes and communities. Our centenary offers an opportunity to draw a line in the sand, to move from wildlife decline to recovery. And as we reflect on all that we've achieved and learned over the past century, we intend to bring all our passion and ambition to bear as we look forward to the next 100 years with hope. This Wild Dream by Nick Aitchison is published by Propolis. So now a look at some of the wild spaces we love, beginning with Cly and Salthouse Marshes. In 1926, Dr. Sidney Long bought 176 hectares of marsh at Cly, sparking a century of dedication to the care of Norfolk's nature. By 2012, Norfolk Wildlife Trust had created a single coastal nature reserve spanning over 3 miles, and today there are around 100,000 visitors every year. The Trust witnessed the first breeding bitterns in the 1930s, and since then, avocet and marsh harrier have followed suit. Tens of thousands of wildfowl arrived to make a winter home here, and marsh harriers returned to float through the vast skies. As wildlife faces new threats, the work here does not cease, with attention turning to the challenge of protecting Cly's freshwater habitats from rising sea levels. Protecting the wildlife of the Broads. In 1928, Norfolk Naturalists Trust, later to become known as Norfolk Wildlife Trust, acquired its second nature reserve, and its first in the Norfolk Broads, at Martham. Landholdings across the Broads have continued to grow. 1945 saw the purchase of 715 acres of the Whiteslea estate at Hickling, which represented the beginnings of Hickling Broad and Marshes, a nature reserve that is now of international importance. In 1979, cranes returned for the first time in 400 years, and among countless other rare species, the reserve is renowned as one of the most important sites for the endemic East Anglian subspecies of the swallowtail butterfly. In 2023, spoonbill chicks successfully hatched at NWT Hickling Broad Nature Reserve, the first known breeding success in the Norfolk Broads for around 400 years. Royden Common. Thanks to generous support, the Trust has been working to expand and restore Royden Common in West Norfolk since the initial purchase of 140 acres in 1963. Today, the nature reserves surrounding Royden Common form one of the UK's most important lowland, wetland and heathland landscapes. Last year, reserve staff watched lapwings, curlew and redshanks recolonise areas of wet heath thanks to a 2-year peatland restoration project. Fenland plants such as round-leaved sundew and lesser cowhorn bog moss also returned. Freed from the smothering effects of purple moorgrass tussocks and nourished by more consistent water flows, these peatlands will once again begin to store carbon and, in doing so, will support a diverse range of fen plants and wildlife. In 2024, the first pair of oyster catchers successfully bred on these sites. Connecting people to Norfolk's wildlife. When the Trust turned 50 in 1976, the first visitor centre at Ranworth Broad was opened by Queen Elizabeth II. Since then, visitor centres have been created at Cly Marshes, Hickling Broad and Home Dunes, and many wildlife hides, walking trails and viewpoints now bring visitors closer to wildlife right across the county. In 2024, NWT became the first wildlife trust to own a pub, the Pleasure Boat, at Hickling. Foxley Wood. In 1988, the trust purchased Foxley Wood, the largest remaining area of ancient woodland in Norfolk. In the 1960s, many of the ancient trees had been killed and the wood planted with non-native conifers. It took years for NWT wardens and volunteers to remove the conifers, allowing the regeneration of native trees, shrubs, and woodland wildflowers. Amazingly, every flower mentioned in the diary of the 18th century vicar of nearby Ling has been recorded in the wood since its restoration. In 2025, NWT purchased two new areas of land, expanding Foxley Wood by 100 acres, increasing the size by over a third, and allowing NWT to create vital new wildlife habitat and expand public access to the popular site. In recent years, the regal purple emperor butterfly has returned to Foxley and continues to thrive. Sweetbriar marshes and supporting urban wildlife. In 2024, with support from Aviva, a new nature reserve opened in the heart of Norwich, Sweetbriar Marshes. As well as conserving and restoring valuable ecological habitats and biodiversity, it's a wild space that offers easy access to nature for local residents' well-being and enjoyment. The Trust continues to design the site in collaboration with nearby communities and to deliver projects in the surrounding area, supporting Norwich neighbourhoods to enjoy and care for wildlife.
Do one thing for wildlife. Celebrate Norfolk Wildlife Trust's 100th birthday by pledging to do one new thing for wildlife. As well as making nature's future a little bit brighter, you'll also make your world a little bit wilder. For every pledge made, the Norfolk Wildlife Trust will plant 1 square metre of wildflower meadow on an NWT nature reserve. So wildlife benefits twice. Every pledge will be added to an online map. Pledges. 1. Provide water for wildlife. From creating or restoring a pond to putting a dish of water out for the animals near you, just about any source of water, small or large, will help wildlife thrive. 2. Plant a pollinator. Planting pollinators gives bees, butterflies and birds the food they need to survive and thrive. It also helps plants reproduce, boosting biodiversity and keeping ecosystems healthy and resilient. 3. Nurture a native tree. From gardens to farms, trees provide a vital food and shelter for our wildlife. And native trees support far more insects and birds than non-native trees, helping nature thrive the way it's meant to. 4. Help a hedgehog. Hedgehog populations have declined dramatically in recent decades, making it vital that we give our spiny friends some support. From building a hoggy home to helping them move freely through our neighbourhoods, there's something we can all do. 5. Volunteer. Learn conservation skills. Share your passion for nature. Meet new people. Immerse yourself in local wild spaces and help protect Norfolk's wildlife for the future. 6. Give nature a voice. From writing to your MP or councillors to ask that they make decisions with nature in mind, to taking part in a petition or responding to a planning application that threatens your local wildlife, there are lots of ways to campaign for nature. 7. Become a member. As a member of NWT, your support enables the Trust to protect the future of wildlife in Norfolk and inspire more people to help nature. There are plenty of benefits for you too, from experiencing the great outdoors at our nature reserves to attending uniquely wild events. 8. Donate/fundraise for NWT. 9. Get to know Norfolk's wildlife. Take part in our 100 Species Challenge to find out more about the amazing plants and animals that make Norfolk their home. Aim to spot the top 10 or set out on an adventure to see, hear or learn about them all. 10. Put wildlife on the map. Sharing information about the wildlife you see and hear can help us understand how plants and animals are really doing and where they might need our help. This means we can protect nature in the right ways, in the right places. Find out more information to help you complete your pledge and log your activity at norfolkwildlifetrust.org.uk/do one thing.